Now we're going to read one simple verse tonight in 1 John. Now if you haven't a Bible and you're not acquainted with the Bible, well, just look on with your neighbor. They'll be happy to share it with you and you'll be able to see the reading. Now we're glad you could make it here with us tonight. If you're just a visitor, that's fine. I'm a visitor too. And we have been made very welcome and we make you very welcome with us tonight as well. If you're not a regular attender of the meetings that the believers assemble week after week here, we trust that you might start to be. But above all, that tonight you might know that your sins are forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you're going on your way to heaven. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now what I'm going to do this evening at the first part of the meeting, we're going to take up that word, Savior, and we're going to spell it out in an acrostic form, and we're going to choose a word for each letter that'll try to explain the gospel for you tonight. This is something that we do quite often in the West Indies, every Friday evening when we're in gospel meetings, and that's the most of our time there. On Friday evenings, we interest the children and the adults to come out as well, and we have more of an acrostic or a children's meetings, and sometimes it's a great help to the adults as well as to the children. So we trust that God might bless these few thoughts tonight. Now, the first letter, of course, in the word Savior is the letter S. When I think of this verse, John writing, he says that the Father, God the Father, sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And when I think of the letter S, I think of the stoop that the Lord Jesus Christ took. After all, you know tonight, when we think of a Savior, we're considering the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just 2 years ago, down in our part of the world, Mr. Reagan from the United States went in and invaded the little island of Grenada. And that was only 200 miles to the south of us. And we saw the planes go over, and we were quite well aware of that which was taking place. You know, it cost Mr. Reagan an awful lot of money to go in and do that task. It cost some Americans their lives. But I want to tell you something, that although he was the Savior of many medical students that were there on the island, and he saved the people from the form of government that they were happy to be saved from, when we think of the stoop of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're thinking of the journey that he took from heaven all the way down to earth. That was quite a stoop, wasn't it? When we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is eternal, because an eternal Father must have an eternal Son. So we believe in the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. And yet, to become your Savior and my Savior, he first of all had to make this great stoop. My, what a journey it was. That day when he left heaven and he came by way of the virgin birth. What for? Well, he came for the very reason that individuals such as you and I here in Richmond might know what it is to have a Savior. You know, sometimes I think of the place where Jesus was. He was not only with the Father, that is true, but you think of the myriads of angelic hosts, thousands and thousands of angels that knew what it was to worship Him. And yet He was going to leave that all behind. And He was going to come down to earth. And He did, to Bethlehem, by way of the Virgin Mary. And it says when He came, He was going to be despised and rejected of men. Quite as stupid was, wasn't it, when our Lord Jesus Christ came down. So you remember that when you think of a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, we think first of all of the stoop that He took. Now the second letter is the letter A. When I think of the letter A, I think of that verse in Hebrews chapter 7, when the Hebrew writer said this, "Wherefore He is able to save." And therefore, we present in the gospel tonight an able Savior. In other words, we present tonight in the gospel one who could do you good. One who would be good for you to get to know. And one who is able tonight to save you. You know, sometimes there might be an incident which calls for a human Savior. And there might be an individual who is willing to go. But they find this, that they are not able. Well, thank God tonight, when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ stepping out of glory and coming down into the scene of sin, we have not only one who was willing to come, but we have one that was able to come as well. Willing to save and able to save as well. A few months ago, we were swimming on a Saturday with another missionary family on the island of St. Lucia, and a number of boys were playing with a surfboard. This will just illustrate this point very nicely. And there were a bunch of teenage children, they were playing, and then a little boy got on it. I had no idea at the time how old he was. He wasn't very big, just like this little boy with the blue pants and the blue and white shirt over here, about 7 or 8 years old. And he got on this surfboard, and the wind took him out. And he got out, and he got farther and farther away. Well, we were having our hot dogs for dinner, and we didn't pay too much attention to it because he wasn't in our party, and we didn't feel responsible for it. But one of the young men who was with us, John Nesbitt, he's about 18 years old, he saw what was happening, and he thought to himself, "Now, that boy's got out too far. He can't get back." And he thought to himself, well, he would go and try and bring him back. So he jumped into the Caribbean Sea, and he swam as far as he could. We soon found out that he was getting very tired. And next thing you know, as we stood on the shore, we found out that he turned back. You see, there was an individual who was willing to go. There was an individual who was willing to save a child from the sea. But the problem was that he was not able to do so. To make a long story short, the little boy got up, the little black boy. He was far out by this time. He got up under the white surfboard and he jumped off. Well, I saw what was happening, and so I put on some mask and snorkel and slippers, and I swam as far as I could. He must have been at least a good city block away. And we were able to bring him out of the water, or he would have been finished. But you see, there was one who was willing to go, but he was not able. When we think tonight, my friend, of a Savior, we're not thinking of an individual that needs to be saved from the water. We're not considering an older person who needs to be saved from the fire in a house. You and I, we need to be saved from our sins. Maybe you haven't thought too much about your sins. How about you, children? Do you think much about your sins? Well, that is why our Lord Jesus Christ came. And you and I, we need to know what it is to have a Savior who is able to save us from our sins. Not only that, you and I need to know what it is to be saved from the grasp of Satan. Now possibly you've never pondered that. You see, when we're young and growing up and having a good time, and we're running with the crowds and we're doing what the other teenagers are doing, well, sin and those kind of things little bothers us. But you and I, we need to know what it is to be saved from the grasp of Satan. You see, the Lord Jesus in verse 13 of Matthew 7, He spoke of two roads in life. He spoke of a wide road which is going down, and He spoke of a narrow road which is going up. And that's the way this audience is divided tonight. Either we're going down to destruction, or we're going up to eternal life. Either we're going down to hell, or we're going up to heaven. And you and I do well tonight just to locate where we are. Just where am I? Where am I going? Where am I going to be when this little life is just over? You and I, we need to be saved from the grasp of Satan. I want to say this tonight, that this Savior of whom we speak in 1 John 4 and 14, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the only person, now you mark this, He's the only person that is powerful enough to release you from the grasp of Satan. Isn't that something? You see, if your sin bothered you and troubled you, you would be interested to get to know this one, wouldn't you? Well, we trust tonight that through the preaching of the gospel, that your sin might bother you and trouble you. David said in Psalm 51, he said this, he said, "My sin is always before me." It means when he got up in the morning, he was conscious of his sin. And when he lay down at night, he knew what it was for his sin to bother him. He says, "My sin is always before me." So, we have a Savior who is able to save. So, we have the letter S, the word stoop. The letter A, He is able. Well, I think again of the letter V, and we have here something about the death of our Lord Jesus. He died voluntarily. That's something, isn't it? In John chapter 10, He said this concerning His life. He says, "I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Our Lord Jesus Christ died voluntarily. Did you know, dear mother, that you cannot do that? Dear father, tonight we're happy to see you. Did you know that you could not do that? And I cannot do that. There are many tonight, possibly even in Vancouver, who are fed up with life. And they're going to take an overdose of this or an overdose of that. Or they're going to try and commit suicide in some way. They're going to take their life. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He was the one who died voluntarily. Do you ever think of the death of our Lord Jesus? I want you to know this tonight, that before He could become your Savior and my Savior, it took the death of the cross. My, we think of His lovely name, He was Jesus, for He shall save His people from His sins. As far as those of us that are saved tonight on the way to heaven, thank God we know Him as our Lord Jesus Christ. But this title that we consider tonight as the Savior, He only got that title and received that recognition when He died upon the cross of Calvary. It was absolutely vital before you and I could be saved from our sins that the Lord Jesus Christ go to the cross. Let me ask you tonight, what does the death of our Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? For those of us that are saved tonight, many of you have been saved much longer than I have. My, we never tire of bending our knee every day, and before we retire at night, and thanking God for His Son, and thanking God that He sent His Son all the way to Calvary. How come? Because we're saved by it. That's how God relates to you and I tonight. God released to you and I through the preaching of the gospel. Thank God there's a gospel tonight to tell you of. So, our Lord Jesus Christ, He died voluntarily. After the Lord Jesus Christ had been on the cross for 3 hours, when He suffered at the hands of men, and then after the 3 hours of darkness, He said these three words, John 19, He said, "It is finished." Did you know, dear friend, what was finished? Well, I'll tell you. The means by which you and I could be saved was finished. The means of deliverance that the Bible calls salvation, it was finished. If you like, again, the road from the Gospel Hall in Richmond up to heaven, that road was opened up. And thank God, by the means of accepting this person, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can start on the road to heaven tonight. Wouldn't you like that? I'll tell you, it's a great thing to be saved and a great thing to know your sins forgiven. Thank God that there's power in the gospel. And thank God you can be saved and start on your way to heaven tonight. Well, what really happened at the cross that God relates to us through that? What really happened at the cross when Jesus died, that the Lord Jesus Christ could now become the Savior? Just this, friend. The 3 hours of darkness when our Lord Jesus hung on the cross, God from heaven placed upon Him all the sin of the world. You know what the hymn writer said when he thought about it? He said, "All our sins were laid upon Him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on Him. And believing, we go free." So what a marvelous thing it is that there's forgiveness from your sins tonight. You can be saved from your sin tonight. You can be saved from the broad road tonight. You can be saved from the grasp of Satan tonight. And you can be saved from the punishment of sin in hell forever. And you can do it because of the voluntary death of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Now the next letter is the letter I. I think of this way, that those who get the Savior are those who are interested. Nobody ever gets saved until they are interested. Did you know, dear child, tonight, maybe Mommy and Daddy are saved, and Mommy and Daddy's interest tonight is that you might be saved. But there's one thing that Mommy and Daddy don't know. Mommy and Daddy don't know how interested you are to be saved. Dear teenage friend tonight, possibly one of the friends, one of your friends has brought you along to the supper and the meeting tonight, and they're vitally interested tonight that you might be saved. But one thing that your friends do not know, they don't know how interested you are in being saved. But thank God, He knows. God saves those who are interested. Let me tell you of an individual who is interested in being saved. In Acts chapter 16, you remember that God sent an earthquake, and the Philippian jailer, he drew out his sword, and he was about to kill himself. He was going to end life. He thought that would be far better. But he then cries this cry. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" There was a man who was interested. There was a man who wanted to get right with God. There was a man who was going out to meet God, and he was not ready. And he wanted to get ready, and he wanted to get ready right then. Now let me ask you tonight, are you interested in getting to know the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ? Let me tell you another story. In Luke chapter 23, there's a man who's dying. He's dying a death by crucifixion, and this man is also interested. Do you know what he said? He said, Lord, remember me. There was an individual who only had possibly 3 hours to live. He was going out to meet God. As he hung on the cross in his dying moments, his mind reflected over a life of sin. And he realized that God would be just, holy, and righteous to punish him for his sin in hell forever. And he didn't want that. But thank God he realized that there was help nearby. And he turns, as it were, his face to the Lord. And he says, Lord, remember me. Down on the island of St. Lucia, on the Atlantic side, I preached the gospel in a little village for 4 months every night of the week in a little place called Debera. It was a cold, wet little village. The building that we had wasn't much, or a little smaller than your building, and we used to get a good number in. There used to be a man come, sit up near the front every night, about 45 years of age, and he came for about 6 or 7 weeks, and he never missed a night. You know, one can sense that one was interested. He said to me one night, after the meeting, he said, Jack, do you mean to tell me that I need to be saved? Well, I said, Michael, if that's what you've gleaned from the meetings, and if that's what the Word of God says, then I guess that's right. Well, he says, you were speaking last night that we were not only all sinners, and that is true, but we were all lost sinners. Well, I said, Michael, if that's what you've gleaned from the meetings, well, I guess that's true. Well, he says, I believe for the very first time last night, after the meeting, as I walked home, he says, I always knew I was a sinner. But he says, I accepted the truth for the first time last night that he says, I was a lost sinner. Well, I said, Michael, what are you going to do about it? Well, he says, I'm going to go home tonight after meeting and get saved. And he just did that. There was a man who was interested. There was a man who wanted to know the Savior. There was a man who his sins troubled him. Just tonight that you have an interest to know the Savior. Well, that's the letter I. The letter O is very simple. Peter, you know, when he's preaching in Acts chapter 4, he says this. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's only one Savior. Doesn't that make it very simple for you tonight? Remember this, my friend, that heaven is a very holy place. The hymn writer said, there is a city bright whose gates are closed to sin. Not that defileth shall ever enter in. Therefore, you can't get to heaven with your sin, and I can't get to heaven with my sin. You and I need to have our sins forgiven. And that was the very purpose, the very reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came. But thank God. You know, the gospel is a unique message. And the simplicity of the gospel is this, that there is only one Savior. Now, I'm going to say this very kindly to you tonight, and you listen. You may think, my friend, that there are many ways to heaven, and you may try to argue your way in and out. But I'm going to tell you this tonight, that you'll never get to heaven unless you get to know the one Savior. You can try your own way. Many have tried it and failed. This is serious business because you and I are going out into eternity and we're not coming back to correct our mistakes. Do you sew, Mother? Do you sew? Do you sew for your little girl? Sure, some of you do. You know what it is, don't you, to sew the dress together and then to try it on your little daughter. And to realize it's too big or too small. And sometimes the tears start rolling down the cheeks. And there's lots of work, but there's a mistake that was made. But there's time to correct. Father, do you do some building? I built my own house. And I made many mistakes. I sold it anyway. Made many mistakes. Cost me some money too because of the mistakes I made. But you see, there were mistakes that were made in time that could be corrected. But you and I have a soul. You and I are going out into God's eternity, and we're never, never going to come back. You and I dare not make a mistake concerning this matter. You and I, we need to get to know the one Savior. Says Peter, neither is there salvation in any other. Thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now very quickly, the letter U reminds me for whom the Savior came. Now this is a very tough one, and I'll speak as kindly as I can, and nobody gets saved until they accept this truth. Says Paul in Romans chapter 5, he says, Christ died for the ungodly. That's hard to take, isn't it? Possibly you belong to a religious organization. Possibly you were raised in that. And as far as you're concerned, you're just as good as the believers that come here to West Richmond. Just as good as your neighbor. And maybe you are. Maybe you're better. But remember this, that nobody gets saved. Nobody comes to know the Savior as their Savior until they are willing to admit, I am ungodly. What's ungodly mean? Ungodly is just another word for saying that you're a sinner. To say that we're a sinner is just another way of saying that we're lost. And if you and I are lost, you and I need to be saved. We need this Savior. So thank God Paul reminds us that Christ died for the ungodly. Now in closing, the letter R again is very simple. But you'll never have this Savior as your own until you receive it. You see, sometimes people think that God's going to come down sometime, you know, and tap them on the shoulder and say, now look, children, you know, now's the time to get saved. You know, people have some funny thoughts about when they're going to get saved. We have many people in St. Lucia, and you know what they tell me? Oh, Brother Jack, I want to get saved on Easter Sunday. I want to get saved on Easter Sunday. Then other people tell me, well, you know, Brother Jack, I want to get saved on my birthday. I think that would be a good time to get saved on my birthday. But remember, this is urgent business. This is something that you and I dare not leave till tomorrow. This is something that you and I dare not leave till we get home. You and I personally need to know what it is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We need to receive Him. Says John, in John chapter 1, he says, as many as received Him. Not as many as received West Richmond Gospel Hall. No, 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 no. Not as many as received my church. No, no. As many as received Him. Everything for eternity depends on Him. And everything for eternity, as far as you are concerned, dear teenager, depends on this. What are you going to do with our Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe this doesn't need saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. That you cannot get saved for the person sitting beside you. Now maybe children, mom and dad are saved. You need to get saved yourself. Mom and daddy can't get saved for you. Dear mother, tonight, possibly your children are saved. And they've got an interest in your soul tonight and would like you to be saved. Your children can't get saved for you. You need to get saved yourself. We do trust then tonight that you may know what it is, as our brother Brian continues with the gospel, to remember this little title, this lovely title of our Lord Jesus. It says that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I'm thankful tonight that I know Him as my Savior. If you've come in tonight in your sins, lost, depressed, sin bothering you, thank God there's a Savior for you. And you can get to know Him before you go home tonight and have your sins forgiven for time and for eternity. Thank God He's the Savior, and He can be your Savior tonight.